Will be head-to-head golfer matchups, which is always super entertaining and exciting. It's sort of what's happening on the course anyway. I mean, I don't know that Nota Begay III is going to talk to us about that, but these guys oftentimes will have a little bit of side action going on as well. Your favorite to win the 2021 U.S. Open, the 121st U.S. Open, which is underway tomorrow right here at Torrey Pines. John Rahm, 10-1. Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson at 16-1. Bryson DeChambeau, a U.S. Open winner, is tied with Xander Schauffele, our guy Xander Schauffele at 18-1. Let's say hello to Nota Begay III, who joins us on Extra 1360. Nota, Darren Smith, welcome back. Thank you for the time.
Well, thanks, Darren, and I agree. I think golf is the most intriguing and interesting sport to bet on with regard to all the props. I mean, there's even a prop out there at Bet Online that asks you whether or not the flagstick is going to be in on the winning putt. And so, you know, it's up to you. Do you think somebody's going to chip in from off the green to win the tournament, or they get a 2-foot tap-in where they ask their caddy to take the pin out? So, you know, a lot of intriguing little opportunities to sort of keep your interest peaked as you watch the golf tournament.
Well, Nota, take us out there on the course itself. I mentioned there's usually a little bit of side action going on. I don't know about a U.S. Open, but I wouldn't rule it out either. I mean, golfers always seem to have a little action going, right? Stroke the stroke, hole to hole.
Well, it's the nature of the beast from the time we grow up is, you know, whether you're playing for a soda, whether you're playing for lunch, whether you're playing $100 one down, there's always seems to be a little action here or there. You know, technically betting is against the rules on the PGA Tour, but, you know, maybe from time to time, these guys do have a little side action. I'll tell you a story. I was sitting in the clubhouse one day with Mike Weir and Jim Furyk watching a tournament come down the stretch, and somebody had a chip from the bunker, and Weirzy shouted out saying, "Hey, look, I got a couple hundred that he's going to chip this in." And one of the other players says, "Okay, I'll take that action." And I might have even been Tiger because I knew it was up at Bridgestone, but Tiger ended up chipping it in, surprisingly. And Weirzy ended up taking home a few extra bucks on the plane ride home. We did, in fact, get in trouble for that, just so everybody knows. Word got out that we had a little side action. But we have since progressed here at the PGA Tour, and now betting is a part of our platform, and hence we're on this call and looking at taking some considerations around John Rahm, who's coming in at 10-1, but my pick right now for the week is Roy McIlroy, who's right at 20-1. I think that's a good number for him.
All right, 20-1, too. That's good value as well. I mentioned Xander Schauffele, and obviously, Nota, I'm being a little bit of a homer here because he's a local guy, a guy that we've gotten to know over the years as well. But it's not like I'm completely just pulling this name. He's performed very, very well in U.S. Opens. It feels like he's knocking on the door of a major championship. And at 18-1, that's one that's got me raising my eyebrows a little bit.
Yeah, and that's a very solid, solid pick. And one thing that sort of, I think, adds even more intrigue and more value to Xander Schauffele is that Torrey Pines, in the last full season before COVID, was the fifth toughest golf course to make a putt inside of 10 feet. And obviously the slope, the speed, and the Poana surfaces make it tough to make putts inside 10 feet. Riviera, Pebble Beach, also Poana were ranked higher. But Xander this year is fifth at the ability to make a putt inside 10 feet. So he's a great putter. He's from the area. He's comfortable on Poana greens, and he's stroking it great, which I think is going to be critical this week in sort of making some key par saves at critical times in your round.
Nota Begay III is an analyst with the Golf Channel. He joins us on Extra 1360. He's here today courtesy of Bet Online. Nota, showing up at a U.S. Open, you've played in a handful of them. You're around the sport all the time. You're dialed in. You know the golfers really well, as good an analyst as there is out there. What is the mindset showing up at a U.S. Open, whether it's Torrey Pines, Pebble Beach, any place else on planet Earth, knowing the way the USGA is, knowing what their preferences are, knowing what their history is? What is the mindset if you're going to show up and you're going to be a serious contender at the U.S. Open? Like, what do you got to clear mentally here before you tee off?
Well, the mindset for players that I know that have done well in these events and have actually won them is survive and stay patient. So bogeys are going to happen. It's just a part of you know, that's the cover charge to play U.S. Open is you're going to make bogeys, but don't panic. And, you know, players that do not panic and stay patient and just understand it's about surviving. Again, it's about making that critical 10-footer for par to avoid dropping two shots on a hole. And you're going to see that this week. The players that are able to sort of just not hemorrhage as many bogeys as the rest of the field are the ones that are going to move up the leaderboard. At U.S. Opens, you don't always have to move up the leaderboard by making birdies. You can move up the leaderboard by just making pars.
The value of a par, right? That's something I've heard Phil Mickelson say over the years, countless other golfers as well. Don't underestimate the value of a par. You don't always have to go out there and be a hero. And especially, Nota, you know, we remember, this is another one of the props about what the final score would be. 279.5 seems a little low, but we remember last time through back in 2008, Tiger and Rocco Mediate, they were the only golfers who finished under par, both at one under par two. So, you know, this is one of those courses and one of the setups and certainly one of the tournaments that doesn't exactly lend itself here to a bunch of low scores.
Well, anybody listening, and this is a public course, so a lot of listeners have the opportunity to come out here and play if you just, you know, sign up and are lucky enough to get a tee time. They know how big of a course. This is a big park. Mm. It is a big park. And then when they convert the sixth hole from a par five to a par four, now it becomes a 600-yard par four, it becomes an even bigger park. So it's no surprise that last time the scores weren't very low and Tiger Woods was able to win in miraculous fashion. And I think we're going to see similar type of scoring, especially with two rough heights. There's a primary cut at 3 inches and there's a secondary cut at 5 inches. So there's going to need to be a little bit of luck if you're going to sort of approach it like a Bryson DeChambeau who's just going to come out here and try and beat this place to death like he did Wingfoot. And I think that's a decent strategy this week for him. So, you know, at 18-1, you know, that to me is a sensible play. You know, my best pick for the week in terms of sleepers go is, you know, I've got Siwoo Kim in the winner slot to top 10 and to top 20. That's some pretty good value at 150-1 to win. So, that's kind of where I'm looking.
Nota Begay the Third is joining us on Extra 1360. How much would experience on this golf course specifically matter? We talk all the time about Tiger's his experience here as a amateur player. You know, he often talked about it. There's a reason why he won a bunch of Buicks and then Farmers Insurance Opens and then the U.S. Open as well. I don't know if you in your day at Stanford, if you guys would make the trip down here or from Albuquerque or Nota, whatever the deal is. But how much would experience on this golf course itself, this specific course, for reasons you've already mentioned here, matter to you?
Experience will go a long way here, especially with the subtleties in the surfaces. But most importantly, which is why I had Siwoo Kim up on my tote board, is because players that have an ability to putt well on Poana greens, the top five most difficult greens to make a putt inside 10 feet in the last full season before COVID were all Poana greens, and 4 out of 5 were on the West Coast. So they're hard because anybody that's ever played out here and you hit a good putt from 6 feet, it hits a little patch of Poana, kicks it offline, and it lips out, and you're just being like, wow, I can't hit a putt better than that, and it still didn't go in. You have to have a certain mental strength to endure that kind of stuff and just kind of go tap it in, go to the next hole, and realize, hey, it wasn't my stroke. It was just kind of, that's just how it goes out here. And I think that's what Tiger was so good at. And with such perfect conditions being presented week over week to the players, sometimes it's difficult for many of these guys to mentally deal with missing a putt that they should have made.
Nota, when does this part of the game, you know, as a professional, when does, like, we'll just ask you, like, your experience as a professional golfer. When do you start paying attention to, like, Poana grass, you know, and Kukui, like, when do you get introduced to that? Because for most of us weekend hackers, and we just show up and, you know, we're not analyzing the grass. We don't really know the difference from one golf course to the other. What plays well on the ocean might play well in East County. It might play well up in North County and any place else we might travel internationally. As a professional golfer, when does this stuff start becoming important?
Well, I think it starts at certain levels in the junior golf. And just out of coincidence, you know, I'm hosting one of my national junior golf qualifiers right up the road at Native Oaks later this summer. And what I'm seeing in being more immersed in this junior golf initiative that I'm a part of is that I think when a junior golfer or any golfer gets to a point where breaking par is a regular consideration, if they go out and play well, they can break par. That's when you start taking in the subtleties of certain types of grass conditions, whether you're hitting a chip into the grain, whether you're hitting a chip down grain, how the certain putts are going to read, the subtleties and all that. Because up until that point, most players aren't even good enough to control the angle of impact or the squareness of the face on a putt consistently enough to produce enough results to sort of give you the feedback that's necessary to make those adjustments to improve. So until you're able to break par regularly, grain, length of you know, the type of sand, all of that stuff, it doesn't really matter because you're not good enough to even, you know, make an adjustment.
No, we had a representative from the USGA on late last week, and he was talking to us a little bit. We were reliving what went on in 2008, one of the great tournaments, certainly, that we've seen. Certainly, the dramatics of what went down there on that final 72nd hole with Tiger Woods, et cetera. And we saw the plaque yesterday there on the 18th, and we were sort of led to believe that Tiger, in some capacity, either watching and replaying some of the 2008 tournament or what have you, was going to be a part of the broadcast. I don't know what you can or can't say here, but because the last U.S. Open that was hosted here was won in such dramatic fashion, what are you expecting just in terms of any sort of conversation about Tiger Woods over the next 4 days, a guy you know pretty well?
Yeah, I expect him to be a regular part of the conversation because, you know, it's just referencing history and his role that he played in history and just kind of how he went about it. I mean, it was one of the most exciting finishes that you will ever see in a golf tournament. And if you want a good example of just how hard Poana greens are to putt, watch that last putt that he hit. Sometimes you'll see that there's various replays going around the world, but sometimes you'll see a close-up of the ball rolling on against the green, and you'll actually see it pop into the air six or seven times as it makes its way to the hole. And you know, what Tiger mentioned to me when he was walking up to that putt and he looked at it, he's like, oh my God, how am I going to make this? This green is so bumpy right now. And so his mindset heading into that putt was, look, I just have to put the purest roll that I possibly can and control the things that I can control, which is a good stroke and good speed, and then leave the rest up to fate. And in Tiger Woods' case, you know, it seemed like fate was always in his favor. Because that thing went in, and the rest is history.
All right. Well, he likes Rory McIlroy at the 121st U.S. Open, which tees off coming up tomorrow morning at 6:45 a.m. He's Nota Begay III with the Golf Channel, and today presented by Bet Online, where you can find all sorts of great odds and prop bets. Nota, always our pleasure. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Care. That's Nota Begay III from the Golf.